is going to the time of trial. Are you following me? Any lawyers there? So if a man is still in his house, and his hands are cut off, his legs are cut off, his eyes are gouged out, he is slipped down the river, then you can say there was malice. The person who did this had an evil heart. We can judge who the person is by what the person did. Now the Bible opens with a demonstration of what God has done. And based on our examination of the activity of divinity, we can then conclude about the character of this God. So Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." That is the activity of divinity. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let there divide the waters from the waters." And it was so. "And God said that the waters under the heavens be gathered together to one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. "And God said, and he said, and he said, and he said." This is an expression of God's activity, the activity of divinity. But I want you to observe how God's activity is expressed. How is it expressed? "And God said." Now that is highly significant. The activity of God is inseparable from what? His word. Are you listening? The first thing, one of the first things we learned about God, Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." We learned what he did. We learned his activity. This is the activity of divinity. God created the heavens and the earth, meaning everywhere. Then verse 3 gives us details as to how he did it. "And God said." God's activity is through his word. Now the Bible is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're told all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. The instruction we receive, one of the instructions is that God is a God who is intimately bound with his word. What comes out of his mouth leaves his mouth with all his power, with all his life, with all his character in it. So that when we look at God's activity, we should be able to make conclusions about God's ability or God's isness. When I say isness, because in that kind of God must believe that he is. Who is he? Look at what he has done. As the Bible says, the heavens do what? Declare the glory of God. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power of God. We can understand the invisible things of God, who he is, by the creation, which is his activity. Why is it so many of us do not know God? We don't study God. We don't study what he has done in creation and recreation, because salvation is an act of creation. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shining in our eyes to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Jesus! Genesis 1 says, "And God said, let there be light." That is creation by the word of God. Now, how are we recreated? I was a man born again. James 1:18. "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." What does "begat he us" mean? What does it mean to beget? "And Adam lived 130 years and began a son of his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth." What does that mean that Adam begat? What does it mean? He gave life. "And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos." "And Methuselah lived 187 years and he got Lamech." Methuselah gave life. Now, James 1:8 says, "Of his own will in connecting us with the word of truth. The same way the world was begotten, if you can say that, and God said, let there be life, and God said, let there be a fruitful, and God said, let the heavens bring forth abundantly, the waters bring forth abundantly, the moving creatures that have life. The same way the Word brought the world into creation, in the same way the Word brings us spiritually to life. The activity of God is bound up in His Word. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, all the glory of flesh, that the flower of grass. The grass liveth, the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which my apostles preach unto you. It is the word of God that brings a man or woman to life spiritually. The activity of God is bound up and expressed through His word. God does nothing except He does it through His word. And so Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning, the entirety, the end of the divine alphabet, by which God expresses His will and does what He chooses to do. I am Alpha and Omega. If you read that in the Old Testament, you would have used the words that are the Hebrew alphabet. In the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Omega. I am A to Z. Ultimately, God's activity is most clearly seen in the highest expression of the word, Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. The activity of God expressed in the Word, the highest expression, Jesus Christ Himself. Next to Jesus Christ, the activity of God should be seen in our lives. Example. What is an activity of God? He performs it in our lives. Sanctification, He performs in our lives. Righteousness, He performs in our lives. Love of the world, He performs in our lives. Those are the activities of God. They are accomplished through His word. How does God cleanse us from sin? As from love your wives, even Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This word we have no time to study. It is impossible. It is impossible to grow without studying God's word. I don't care how much you come to church. How much time you give if you give me. I don't care how many church offices you hold. If God's word does not abide in your heart and mind, we will not grow spiritually, because God's divine method for spiritual growth is through the word. Not through a lot of arguments and philosophy and secular knowledge. Through the word. And so in Acts chapter 6, when there was a crisis between the Hebrew women and the Grecian women in the daily administration, then it was the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them in Acts 6, reading from verse 2, and said, it is not reason for us to leave the word of God and serve tables. Peter and the other apostles said, look, our major concern in this early church is the word of God. You take care of the daily administration. You run the church board. You determine how, what color the paint walls, what color the carpet. That's of no interest to us. We will not leave God's word to get involved in these little things. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I said, we're four. This is Peter. Peter was clear. His priorities as a leader of the church were clear. The word of God preached. I've got to preach. Is there an argument in the church about whether to cut the lawn at 6 inches or 2 inches on the ground? You handle that. I have to be in the word of God. Jesus was preaching to the Pharisees and scribes who almost never understood what he said. When he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, they thought he was proposing cannibalism. He explained in verse 63, John 6, that it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? and they are light. Now, if these words are spread on light and we don't put them within, what are we committing slowly? Spiritual suicide. Someone called me this morning and said, "This is a test. You have beaten us up all weekend." That was a nice kitchen. I'm really a nice man. She said, "You beat us up all weekend." That's not my desire. You're good news. You know what I want to see when I get to heaven? I want to look around and see my friends who keep telling me about. Because it doesn't matter what I want, it's our last one. I want to see all my friends in heaven running up and down streets of gold, plucking the fruits of the tree of life. I don't want to look down from the walls and see them in heaven from the fires of hell. I don't want to see them. At this very age, they should be able to recite that question. Not be able to give the time to escape them from Monday to Friday. You know, God complained about the Israelites. They would do as the heathens did. They would pass the children to the fire as sacrifices. We as Adventists, we do the same thing. We pass our children to the fires by not being allowed them to watch, to get involved in, and to spend their time with them. And why rights in judgment. Many parents will be shocked to learn that what their children became those men of laws was largely their fault. If a child knows more rap performers than pioneers, it's not the child's fault. Are you listening? If a child can give more secular lyrics from Jehovah Lopez than hymns to the church, than hymns to the hymnal, it is not the child's fault. It is our fault. This is how God expresses his activity. And God said, and the same power that brought the light when God spoke is the same power that will work in our lives if we trust God's word. And so I commend to you, as Paul said in Ephesians 12, I commend you to the word of God. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. The activity of the faith. I'll ask you a question, don't answer. Someone walked up to you and said, "Explain to me why the Sabbath is still to be kept." Would you say, "Hold on a minute, and all that?" Or could you explain yourself? If someone said to you, "Explain to me why you shouldn't eat pork." Could you? Someone said, "Explain to me why we don't dance and drink alcohol and engage in all these sexual amusements which don't characterize God." Could we give an answer that's biblically intelligent? If we couldn't, on what basis set the answers? They were not saved by an Anglican church. But not the royal church. We need to understand we are saved by our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is life eternal, John 7:3, that they might what? Know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who does send. If we Christ, we will not wonder, can I come with this weakness in my life? Because we know that Christ said all power is given unto me. And he can employ that power to grant you and me the victory over some stubborn weakness. I don't want to say that if necessary, God will send every angel out of heaven to help the person who does not want to sin. Who does not want to collapse and weaken. And we see an example of this in Luke chapter 22, I believe, verse 42, when Christ was in Garden of Gethsemane shedding great drops of blood, and he asked the disciples to pray with him, they didn't pray, they were falling asleep. The Bible said, and they appeared an angel of him from heaven. When God, Christ could not turn to human support, which is required by Scripture, we must be able to support one another. When there was no human support, God said, an angel, he would save you. Because God is not a respect the person. What he did for Christ, he did for us. If we depend on him, the way Christ did. You know, it is better to leave God alone than to have a half-hearted relationship with him. And this may sound cruel, but it's better to just leave God absolutely. Of divinity is through God's word and through the power in his word that I read the life of God, the power of God, the character, the characteristics of God, they are found in his word. That's why when his word is in us, life is in us. Matthew 8:16. And when evil was come, they brought of him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits out with his hand. For his word, because his word had all the authority of the Father. And so in Matthew chapter 8, when the centurion came to Jesus and said, my servant died, the whole sick of the false and grievously tormented. Matthew 8 from verse chapter 8 from verse 5. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou wouldst come under my roof, but do what? Speak the word only. And I said, I'm here. And then he explained why he took that position. He said, for I am a man, what? Under authority. Not having authority. I am a man under authority. And I said to this man, go and he would. And to another man, come and he come. And to my servant, do this and he would. What the centurion was saying is, I am under the authority of whoever is in Rome, Caesar. Whoever the emperor is, as a centurion, when I speak with his authority. I am under his authority, so my word has this power. So when I tell a soldier, go, he goes. And he recognized that Jesus was under authority too, the authority of the Father. So he knew if Jesus spoke, his word would carry the power of the Father. He said, just speak. And all of the authority that you are under will be in your word, and my servant shall be here. The Bible says, Jesus marveled. He said, I have not power so great faith. And the faith was in the word. The activity of divinity is expressed through God's word. So the Bible says, thy word, and I need every heart. Why? And I might not say against you. I leave you with a recommendation from my heart. Make time for God's word. That's the lesson Christ wanted to teach when he fed the 5,000. That life isn't based on fish and bread. That's not what keeps a person alive. It is the word of God. This was the message about what did about trying to teach the Israelites for 4 years. They were by sending the man, he was trying to let them know, hey, you are alive by my word. So when Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeded out of the mouth of God, he was quoting Deuteronomy 3. Where Moses wrote, and he suffered you when he suffered you to the substance of the hunger, that he may prove you, that he may cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that were to learn, we shall survive in this wilderness by God's word. The manna is a physical symbol of the sustaining power of our God. And so, I pray, and I urge you from my heart, as a brother in Christ, get to know God. Don't suffer the silence of omnipotence. Don't be characterized by the thief of the left. For whom Christ was dying, but for whom Christ is dying. Don't make God omnipotent by not exercising the faith that he was graciously given to you and me to exercise. Don't question the ability of divinity. Don't always look for God to do something before you believe. Believe just based on who he is. Stand in the place of faith in the ability of divinity. But also get acquainted with the activity through his word. I want to leave this place today, and I leave. But I must say, like the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned, verse 27, Acts 20, to declare unto you all the counsel of God. When I leave this place, I am leaving with a clear conscience. The clarity of my conscience lies in this. I will be able to say to God, Father, I preach the truth. I was direct. Some of you told me I was a little harsh in heart. But I left knowing that no one who attended could say this man watered it down. So I leave with a clear conscience. But with a heart that is not sure how many will live when I want them. I can't control that. But I will pray that the Lord will put into each heart a seriousness about God, about His Son, about salvation, and about the source of power, which is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. This world has nothing to build you on. Nothing. It has a lot of excitement. I grant you that. There's a lot of the world to tell you, I grant you that. There's a lot of the world to make you think it's okay, I grant you that. There is nothing in the world to build your spiritual need, nothing. And so we read from John, who was closest to Jesus. And if I say John most closely reflected the character of Christ, he was closest, he knew Jesus. And this man writes to you in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the thing that is in the world, and then I love the world, and love of God, and love of day. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is of the Father, is of the world, and the world passes away. Temporary. But this, eternal. As the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, and as God listens and watches, and the angels are here, which if you would say, Lord, I have been convicted. Help me to make time for your activity to study who you are by what you've done. By studying your activity in your word, placing your word in my heart, and letting your word build me up. If anyone will say that, raise your hand. Because I'm sitting with us. God bless you. I want all my little friends to make time. I can memorize my God's word. You can memorize one verse a week. Actually, you're so right. You can memorize one verse a week. You are so right. All of those things, wherever they are, here's the one thank you. We're the others. So what? We can memorize a verse a minute. Let me pray. Let me tell you, when there was a time in history, when there was a book called the bad season, other people were hiding in jungles because people wanted to hear them come and read God's word. And the little children they had would memorize long passages from God. And the children your age, and they would stand up and preach. I'm telling you, they would stand up and preach. There was no one in Bible called Josiah. He was king of Israel. You know how long he was in his name? How much is this? And the Bible says he did everything right. Everything right. You can do the same thing. Jesus loves you and wants you to love him back. And he wants you to read about it. Will you do that? Let me pray for you first time. Come on. Where's my little friend? Come. Let me pray for you. Come. Bring your friend with you that time. That's what Peter and he brought some of them. Some of them. The apostles brought them to come. Maybe the child, maybe the child. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. All right. Say it only about that. Say it once. Say it once. Say it once. Say it once. I just want to say, Jesus, if you love me, I'm going to bow my head. Father, God, I come to these seats. These are my little brothers and my little sisters. All that they learn about living life, they learn by watching us. And so we have such a serious responsibility for them. That when they see us, they will see this is how I ought to be in church, at work, at home. This is how I ought to behave. So I ask you, Father, God, to bless them. Put your spirit in their hearts. When Jesus was not yet born, your spirit was in him. When John the Baptist was still in his mother's womb, your spirit was in him. When Jeremiah was in his mother's belly, the Bible says, your spirit was in him. Now put your spirit in every little boy and girl who is under my call. Bless them. Protect them from danger. And let them tell their friends about Jesus. Bless their minds. Let them spend well at school, but when they have time at home, Lord, let them get the Bible. Read your word and you will teach them. Bless their parents and pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. See where you are. All that about. Let's go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I present to you this church and the friends who come against the visitors. Lord, the devil has done everything to turn our hearts and our minds from Christ and his word. I pray with you, I appeal to you, I beg. Do all you can to save us because you pay such a high price. Convict our hearts. And nothing in this world is calculated to take us to heaven, but to take us to heaven. But it must have love for the word, as Job said, I have esteemed thy words more than my necessary food. Bless everything. Bless the leadership of this church. And Lord, let this church experience such a transformation that it will be at Pentecost. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. And God bless you all.